From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Police, activists, and most citizens following the news this week are bracing for the worst as the trial of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin went to the jury on April 19th. In the past week, protests have returned to many American cities as video recordings of several instances of police brutality were released last week. Now, the officer who kneeled on George Floyd's neck for almost 10 minutes last year will either be found innocent or guilty, and all sides are on edge. In Minneapolis, thousands of members of the National Guard are now patrolling streets, and schools switched to all remote learning. The New York City Police Department stopped unscheduled days off for police officers beginning April 19th until further notice. In Philadelphia, Governor Tom Wolf activated more than 1,000 Pennsylvania National Guard members at the request of Philadelphia officials ahead of the verdict. In Albany, there have been protests for several days, one where protesters broke a window and were pepper sprayed by police. After that, Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan compared the Black Lives Matter protest at the police department's South Station to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. That did not go over well, the Times Union reports. Local resident and activist Matt Marshall said, and I quote, "To compare us, our protest for civil rights, to the attempted coup and overthrow of the United States government is dangerous for people who protest here. It's dangerous for the people when they go home. That is dangerous rhetoric from the mayor," end quote. 2 days later, on April 17th, Sheehan apologized. Sheehan said in a tweet, and I quote, "My comment referred to the physical actions of the use of violence to attempt to gain unlawful entry into a governmental building. In no way did I intend to compare the insurrection to the BLM movement or protest. I'm sorry," end quote. But Sheehan was unapologetic about her threat to veto a ban on tear gas use by police in her city. Then on April 19th, the Albany Common Council tabled a vote on the legislation that would ban Albany police from using tear gas or rubber bullets on citizens, as council members planned amendments to weaken the bill. Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo is the focus of a new investigation. This one is a look into his alleged use of government staff to help write a best-selling book last year. On April 13th, State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli invoked state executive law to issue a formal referral letter requesting a criminal investigation by State Attorney General Letitia James. DiNapoli is authorized under state law to make the request to give the AG's office jurisdiction. DiNapoli asked the AG to look into matters, and I quote, "related to the use of property, services, or resources of the state for personal purposes, private business purposes, or other compensated non-governmental purposes by the executive chamber, including but not limited to in the drafting, editing, sale, and promoting of the governor's book and any related financial or business transactions," end quote. A James spokesperson confirmed receipt of the comptroller's letter and told the Times Union he could not comment further on an ongoing investigation. In a comment to the New York Times, Cuomo senior advisor Richard Azzopardi said the idea that there was criminality involved is, and I quote, "patently absurd on its face and is just the furthering of a political pile-on," end quote. A number of high-ranking aides to Cuomo helped produce the book, such as Secretary to the Governor Melissa DeRosa, who did extensive editing. Cuomo's office argues the help provided was voluntary. However, the question of whether staff was paid or not is not the concern. Cuomo's special counsel, Judith Mogul, explicitly stated in a letter seeking approval of the book project that government staff would not be used, no exception. In July 2020, the State Joint Commission on Public Ethics approved the governor's book project on the condition that government staff not be used. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Cooksack-Appin School District has proposed a $34 million budget for the 2021-22 school year. The proposal reflects an increase of nearly $780,000, or 2.37%, over the existing spending plan. The proposal includes a tax levy increase of 1.97%, which is within the state-mandated cap. Assistant Superintendent of School Services Leslie Copleston said during a virtual budget presentation last week, there are no cuts to personnel, services, or programs. Copleston said, and I quote, "We knew we needed to be thoughtful in how we move forward and how we use our monies," end quote. The Coxsackie Athens District received $3.6 million in federal aid via the Coronavirus Relief and Recovery Supplemental Appropriations Act, approved in December, as well as the American Rescue Plan Act, which was passed in March, Copleston said. In the coming school year, administrative costs will decline by 3.31%, while program expenses are projected to rise by 2.64%, and capital expenditures will go up 5.27%. In a rare occurrence, health insurance costs declined by 4.79%. Typically, you don't see a reduction in health insurance, but what we found is that people didn't go to the doctor during the pandemic as they normally would, so as a result, the cost of our health insurance went down significantly, end quote. Salaries have increased 5.034%, special education costs went up by 4.487%, and retirement expenses increased by 2.88%. Superintendent Randall Squire said the district is awaiting guidance from the State Education Department on how the federal funding, which must be spent by 2024, can be used. Some of the funds will likely have to be set aside for summer school and used to address learning loss during the pandemic. He added that some of the funds will likely have to be set aside for summer school and used to address learning loss during the pandemic. Public hearings on the 2021-22 budget will take place at 6:30 p.m. May 4th in the Coxsackie Elementary School cafeteria at 6:30 p.m. May 6th, the Edward J. Arthur Elementary School in Athens. The annual school board election and budget vote will be held May 18th, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting Columbia Green Workforce New York will hold a multi-resort hospitality job fair at the Blackthorn Resort in East Durham from 1 to 3 p.m. on May 2nd. The purpose of the fair is to fill the jobs that will be available this season. Resorts will be looking to fill full-time, part-time, seasonal, and other employment positions for candidates age 14 and older. Applicants are encouraged to bring resumes, be ready to complete applications, and conduct interviews at the fair. Deputy County Commissioner Warren Hart said, and I quote, "As businesses begin to resume regular activities, as more of the population is vaccinated and travel increases, there is a need for additional employees for tourism-related businesses," end quote. Hart noted the Zoom Plume Water Park in Durham was closed for the 2020 season due to COVID-19, and as a result, its entire workforce and revenue for the year was lost. Zoom Plume is starting over with new employees for 2021. Chris Nardone, director of Columbia Green Workforce New York, said, and I quote, "With high unemployment rates and businesses in need of workers, the workforce office looks forward to connecting Green County employers and workers safely and conveniently," end quote. Mask and social distancing will be required. More information about the fair is available by calling 518-719-3290 or writing to khec@discovergreen.com. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.